Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Bankroll Burners, the podcast for poker players who can't stop getting it in bad. I'm Mike.
And I'm Josh.
And we are here, as always, to bring you some recently played, poorly played poker hands. Poorly played poker hands. That's good alliteration. And we're gonna do live blind reactions to them. And we're going to try to see how we could have played them better.
Oh yeah, we definitely could have, and I look forward to it. It's always a fun part of our week where you get to learn some fun things about how bad Mike is at poker, and share some hands that, quite frankly, sometimes I share some hands and I'm like, wow,
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the goal of this podcast is that we just feel terrible about ourselves afterwards.
Yeah, you know, so. I need to get knocked down a peg here and there. So why don't you start us off this week, Mike, and talk us through, let's start with some session info. I assume this is a 2-2 Jacksonville best bet?
Ah, your words wound. But yes, this is a 2-2 session.
5-10 at the Lodge.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm much of a scrub to play anything else at this point. I was playing 2-5 for a while, but we're back in the 2-2 streets.
There's no shame. I mean, there is shame in that, but it's a shared shame.
So much shame.
I think I'll probably be trying to focus a little more on the lower stakes games, just because, I mean, you know, it is a after work hobby, and I don't want to stress myself out. And also, the 2-5 at Encore Boston Harbor does wind up being quite reggy most weekdays, so I would rather try and play it a little more opportunistically rather than like going from the 9-to-5 corporate grind to the 5-to-9 depression of like, you know, 3 chops in orbit.
All right, well, so yeah, I'll kick us off here with a 2-2 hand. This was from a very, very fun late night session. And we were running pretty hot at this stage of the night. Didn't necessarily run hot the whole night, but we were kind of on a heater here. So just some table image context, I suppose. And the villain in this hand is a young guy. He seems like he knows something. That's about all I would say about poker. Like, he's not like just like a drunk college kid. He seems like he knows some stuff. That's how I would tag him. And I'm sitting in the small blind in this hand. There's no straddle on, so just straight 2-2. And I'm looking at red kings.
Okay, and what's the effective stack?
The effective stack with me and the main villain is 350. There were some other stacks in the mix there.
But, makes sense.
So there's 4 limps. We got nice. Under the gun plus 1, a middle position player, and I believe button.
And then we over limp to trap the big blind?
Yes, of course. No, so we make it 20.
With red kings.
Red kings.
Okay.
And under the gun and under the gun plus 1, who is the main villain, call.
Okay, so interesting that, I mean, plus 1, I kind of had a picture of someone who is maybe a little more competent than they are, given they limp called from plus 1.
I wouldn't describe him as competent. I'm saying he knows stuff. He's not just speaking by. But yes.
Sounds good. So we're going 3 ways out of position to 2 players who both limp called. There's now about $60 in the pot. We got lots and lots behind. And what's the flop roll off?
Flop is not very pretty. It's 8 of diamonds, 6 of diamonds, 5 of spades.
Okay, so we got the king of diamonds, but overall fairly connected board. All right, and how do you elect to proceed here?
Well, I check, but I wonder, and I think from a theoretical standpoint, this is probably checked like always, probably. It's probably one of those boards, but you know, this is something Bart Hansen talks a lot about, is at small stakes you can sometimes deviate from that and just bet these boards with strong hands with the intention of folding when the action goes crazy.
I've heard that saying, you know, bet until you get raised.
Yeah,
on certain boards like this. And I mean, that's interesting if you kind of think that the two guys, and obviously they did limp call pre-flop, so they're probably higher likelihood to just, you know, to play a little more face up and not do a ton of raising with draws or raising their range. You know, they would guess they're not quite that aggressive given the preflop action.
No, definitely
not. But yeah, so I'm kind of happy either way. I don't mind betting, you know, kind of small, because obviously there are also a lot of hands we can get value from. There's a lot of like pair plus draws. There's a lot of, you know, other over pairs below the kings that people would definitely be happy to limp call with. So, you know, even top pair holdings for sure. People could be in there with like ace eight, honestly. So I don't mind it either way. I think we are happy to kind of check, evaluate, or happy to kind of bet, you know, maybe bet call, but fold to further aggression.
Sure. I mean, would you think it would be, this is something that kind of crossed my mind in game. If I were to check and then it's someone bet small, could I check raise this hand?
I think you could. I think you could. I think it kind of depends on the positions too, because maybe you're more incentivized to check raise if like you check under the gun checks and UTG plus one bets small. Because if you call, you're probably going to let under the gun call with like hands. And there's so many ugly turns. But as we've said, you know, before, we are out of position. It kind of sucks also to bloat the pot out of position when there are so many bad turns.
Yeah,
so
it's such a dynamic board, yeah.
I think you would probably go either way. I think we just probably don't want to release our hand at this point. That's all I would say.
No,
you know.
for sure. I mean, I think, if I bet and he, like, someone raises me huge, I think we could probably comfortably lay down our hand because we're either up against a straight, a set, or an insane combo draw. But,
right.
I think that I think it's probably fine to check call here. And anyway, what ends up happening, I do check. Under the gun checks pretty quickly. And then plus one cuts out $35 and puts it in the middle, which is about half pot.
Yep.
And I just call here.
Okay. And does under the gun come along as well?
No, under the gun.
Okay. So, I mean, I do think that's fine. And maybe, you know, in a game like this where people are maybe under bluffing and it is a little bit more ABC, I would lean towards betting just because kind of check calling the whole way out of position feels pretty bad. And check raising also feels bad just because, like, you don't want to, you know, be sitting with like a pot sized bet behind and have like half the deck be a bad turn card. It's just so dynamic and putting in so much money out of position. It's not like we would even buy ourselves a free card by check raising because we're out of position. There's no real way we can, no guarantee that we'll realize our equity, I guess I'd say. So I'm kind of happy check calling here. Nice to see under the gun fold behind us. This is probably the, you know, and it probably would have gone a similar way if we bet 35 on the flop. The pretty high likelihood that it would, you know, the exact same thing would happen. Yeah. Although I might even bet a little bit smaller.
But I would probably take a smaller sizing
on
this board.
Yeah,
if I were to have bet. But okay, so I don't bet. I go with the theoretically sound approach, which isn't always the right thing to do. But I go with the theoretically sound approach here and check.
We've never taken a theoretically sound approach in our life.
That's also true.
So, okay, so we're heads up now. 130 in the pot, 300 behind more or less. And what's the turn roll off?
The turn comes the six of spades.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't love it.
Kind of an ugly card. The one, I guess, upside is that because we check called, I guess it's less likely our opponent has a six.
Correct. I don't really think, like, I think, like, I actually in game had the same reaction of like, ugh. But then I thought about it a bit more and I was like, this actually cuts down on the number of set combos he can have. So in some ways, it's a good card.
And it's one of these spots where if we had bet the flop, I would be much more ugh, because like they're definitely, you know, UTG plus one is most certainly defending a bunch of 6x combos, especially a hand like 7-6. But a hand like 7-6 might not bet the flop in position, might instead choose to realize, to just, you know, take a free card, you know, given that it's just middle pair and has some showdown value. And I think people generally understand that even when, you know, they may not have studied a ton, they kind of do understand, hey, this pair could be good. I don't necessarily need to bet.
On the other hand, though, some people, when they have a pair and a draw, think they have the nuts. So
that's absolutely true, too. So
I think 7-6 is a real possibility here, and I considered it in game. But I also in game thought, he probably has a lot fewer sixes. He probably doesn't have that many sixes here other than specifically.
Yeah, I just think he'd have more sixes if we had bet and he had called versus here. So, okay.
Yeah.
So I assume we check, given that we've given that we checked all the flop.
We have no leading range on this board. All right, and villain bets $40, so almost the exact same bet.
Okay.
And at this point, I'm very confident I have the best hand.
Yep, he did definitely a small bet.
I mean, this is a sizing tell. I would say, you know, if he had bet something fairly normal, we have a fairly standard continue, obviously. But, like, just call. But
right.
I think given that he, like, I'm going to deviate here, this sizing to me reads that he is probably has a top pair type of holding. And would probably not enjoy facing a raise. And also I probably have the best hand. So I go ahead and bet and check raise to $100. Setting up a fairly geometric jam on the river, I believe.
So this is a pretty small raise.
Yeah.
Like a little under half pot size raise.
And we're going to have, if he calls...
We're going to have like 2/3 pot left.
Yeah, so it's a bit small. I could have gone.
I think I like going big here too, just because if villain does have like a flush draw, which is possible, you know, they could have like 8x of spades or, you know, some kind of combo draw. We do want to, you know, and it is just one of these boards where I feel like we should be going fairly big on the turn.
Well, I mean, I certainly think we can't shove.
Yeah, I agree. But so I think we'd probably go a little.
I
want to set up a
geometric size. I think I could have gone a tad larger, but I don't think I want to go like big and then small on river.
Right.
Well, I guess if we're targeting specifically flush draws, maybe actually there's some legitimacy to that.
But if you kind of think, and I agree, he definitely could have a lot of 8x or like pocket nines or something like that. That's taking the smaller sizing twice. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I think it's probably a fine size. I think it's just a little awkward when we're on sort of a double flush draw board, you know, and we're kind of taking a small sizing. I don't really know what we're supposed to do, to be fair.
Yeah, I don't either.
When we're check raising, but that's just one thing I'm thinking about.
I kind of felt like, my thought was I wanted to set up a fairly geometric jam, and I went a little too small for that.
And that's fine. I mean, it's pretty close.
But I guess I would say not. There are spots where you're not supposed to use geometric sizing. Geometric sizing, by the way, for those who aren't familiar with the term, is simply when you want to set bet the same percentage of the pot on turn and on river to go all in. So there are oftentimes the solver just does that. The theoretical reason being that it forces your opponent to defend with the largest amount of hands on both streets. But there are spots where you deviate from geometric sizing, where the solver deviates from geometric sizing also. And this might be one of them on double flush draw boards where we simply want to maximize the value we get from draws. And so maybe we would take a bigger sizing here, right? And then plan to, you know, do something like a third pot size jam on the river. Or something like that.
I don't even hate jamming here, to be honest. I mean, it's barely more than pot.
Interesting.
If like a pot size raise,
we probably can't get called by a draw if we jam, though.
Well, you'd think. Well, maybe. I don't know, but I also think if he has a lot of top pair, if and especially, I guess, a sort of an exploit I would make too is if you think he's got like a top pair type hand, like. Like his size really says 8x or, you know, slight small overpair, then I think we do want to jam because we just might get paid off when like it's a double flush draw board and we might not get paid off on a lot of scare card rivers.
Interesting. Yeah, I guess I don't often find these the stack depth thing is something I struggle with. Like there's certain stack depths where I really feel awkward with sizing.
This is one of them because it's like a pot size raise would be, I think, be to 250 here. And so it would be a bit of an overbet to jam here. But I think that's okay. Like because I definitely wouldn't raise two pot.
Yeah.
You know, so if we're in a situation where we want to raise to like, you know, 75% or pot, but we'd only leave ourselves with so little behind. Maybe we're just supposed to rip it in at that point. I think, right, because there's some sort of theory, or maybe it's live theory or something, but it's basically saying, if your raise would not allow you to fold to a jam, then you should just jam.
Sure. I think that if I made it, my raise here, if I made it 100, but even if I had made it, like, let's say 120, I would probably fold if he 3-bet jammed. I think. I mean, I don't know. I'd have to think about it, but I could. I could fold.
Right. But if you were kind of setting up, and I like, if you kind of wanted to go bigger on this board because it's such a dynamic board, and here, you know, we know if we wanted to go bigger and we didn't need to play, you know, and then once we realize, oh, if we're going bigger, we want to shove, and then we no longer have the issue of playing a big pot out of position because there are no longer positions.
Yeah, that's a good point. If we were, so the sizing here is probably something close to what I did, probably a tad bigger, or jam.
Mm-hmm.
But probably nothing. That's kind of the point you're making. It's like,
yeah, right.
Yeah,
exactly. I don't think it makes sense to go like 150. I don't know, like 150 or higher. You know, without jamming.
Yeah, I think I can also reasonably justify like wanting to jam my draws here. So
right, like, and that kind of just puts him in an awkward position. I think, you know, I might just jam here just because it's like, look, there's pretty few combos that beat us at this point. All things considered, his sizing indicates a hand that probably has showdown value, and like those hands just get put into very difficult spots when we jam, and we have like a lot of bluffs we want to jam, and we also have a lot of value we can jam.
No, so that's fair.
Maybe I'd just rip it, but I don't know. I'm okay with a small raise and getting it on the river. I worry we might not get paid off when draws hit.
No, but I think you're right. At the end of the day, I think I should have jammed here. I do like that line. I didn't consider it. So, all right, but I just make this 100, and he tanks for a while, and then eventually calls.
Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah.
It could kind of mean anything, because he could be like thinking about jamming, or he could be thinking about folding.
Right. I don't read too much into this. I just was sort of surprised at the like length. It was a lengthy tank for like a turn.
For like a small turn raise. Yep. Yeah.
Anyway, the river rolls off a card that I really am displeased with, which is the Three of Diamonds.
Okay, front door flush gets there, but not much. I mean, doesn't affect much. We do have the King of Diamonds.
I really butchered this river because I thought, at the time, I was like, this is a very dynamic card. Like, it brings in the front door flush, which is, you know, something he can have. I do have the King of Diamonds. I really thought about this card for a while, and as I was thinking, he said like, oh, if you check it, I'll check it back, which I hate when people say that to me. It always throws me for a loop. It's a good strategy to like confuse me to say that to me, because I'm just like, ah. So I ended up just checking, and like is what I decided to do, but I don't think that was correct.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that's kind of a sign of weakness, because I feel like people often say that genuinely when I've experienced it. And that just means, like, we always have the best hand.
Yeah, for sure. I think you can say it as, like, an angle, but most people don't.
And I think the other thing I would say is I do kind of think that your read is probably right, your initial read on the turn, where you think small bet, probably mostly top pairs and over pairs. Certainly, could be some flush draws as well, because as we know, people don't know how to bluff often. And just kind of think, oh, I don't know how to bluff. How do I make him fold? I guess I'll just bet tiny and risk the least. But given that, given his sizing is mostly like representative of an 8 or slight overpair, maybe we just like go with that and say, well, yes, he can have flushes here in theory if he like took a real sizing on the turn. But like, let's just go with our deviation and say he really doesn't have that many because of the way he played this.
And I think that's right. Would you jam here or would you block?
I'd probably just jam.
Yeah, I don't think we would have got called, especially, I'll tell you what he had. But I do think that it's probably fine to just jam here, you know, put his top pair sort of hands in a difficult spot. I mean, what do we have behind here? We have
$200 like, bucks in a $330 pot. So I don't know, you bet like 50.
We might, well, when he says, like, oh, if you check it, I'll check it back, maybe the exploit is, like, he really hates his hand, and so we could, like, the difficult thing to do with it is to make a really small bet, where he can just be like, ugh, I'll pay it off, fine.
Yeah, I mean, I would not do that with many bluffs, but I guess you don't have to, you don't need many bluffs.
Yeah, it's certainly not balanced at all.
Yeah,
I mean,
you just...
I think if he says that, and I have a I think when he says that, I can probably... be sort of unbalanced
and like jam bluffs.
My bluffs.
Yeah, I actually like that a lot. I'm just saying, oh, you. If I check it back, all right, 50, and you just like, rah, 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 call.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I think I should have made a small bet. Like I really feel I don't know that jamming here is correct. Obviously, in theory, jamming is correct, but just him saying that.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be like, well, he's buying himself a cheap showdown, so we're being exploited by his speech play. So
we can leave theory on the flop.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, it's interesting. Like, maybe we jam, but I feel like the correct play here from an exploitative standpoint is to just bet something very small, like $50.
And so what's the reveal? We show our kings and villain...
shows us Jack 8 offsuit.
Ah, I wish we jammed the turn. I bet he calls.
Yeah, he probably calls if we jam the turn. So.
Oh, yeah, you have so many. You're young. You're a bluffy kid.
Yeah. I mean, he's young himself, but yeah.
Well, I just picture an old, like, middle-aged man.
No, he was like our age.
So. All right. Well, hey, we did win the hand. Maybe we could have won some more, but maybe he would fold to any river bet or a turn shove.
I think he would definitely fold. When the flush comes in, I think he's folding to a jam.
Yeah.
Like, with his holdings, specifically.
Yeah.
But I do think we could have got paid for, like, a block sizing, which is what I was... immediately, I was like, I missed a value.
Do you think he would have called a turn jam?
I don't know. Genuinely, I don't know.
But I think that's okay, then. If we wanted to kind of stay balanced, even sort of in our deviation, and say, like, oh, you know, we... just want to go super thin for value, but then we also then want to just jam a ton of draws and just, like, really, you know, if we don't know, then that kind of would say that maybe we should just be jamming with, like, a whole bunch of stuff.
No, I think we should have jammed turn. I think you were right. I think that's the one.
Because so. Then, like, yeah, we don't, because, like, I don't know either. What do you do with Jack 8? You just, like, I don't know. I literally don't know.
It's not a hand you should have there.
Right.
But anywho.
Okay, interesting hand. I think always ways to get more value, but that's life. Okay, well, I've got an interesting hand here. We are playing 2-5 in this hand, where we've been playing for a long time. It is five-handed at this point, and we're playing with a bunch of, like, aggressive, like, spewy players, ourselves included. Where, like, I have never seen so many bluffs caught in one session. Like, it was like snap calls. Like, people were just snap calling. Like, it was so sick. Like, I saw someone, like, snap call, like, three streets with bottom pair and just win.
Amazing.
It was a very fun table. The main villain in this hand is a younger Asian guy, definitely aggressive. I think pretty decent player. You know, maybe slightly too aggressive. Hard to say when you just play with someone a bit, but definitely, I think he was probably somewhat of a thinking player. A lot of people at this table were. And we're 1.5K effective, so we're quite deep here in this game. And there's no straddle on, especially because it's just five-handed. So, yeah.
Okay.
So, this hand starts with the villain in the cutoff, which is also second to act, because we were playing five-handed.
Okay.
He opens to 20, which is pretty standard, especially for him. I think he pretty much always opened to 20. And then I am in the small blind with 9 of hearts, 9 of spades. And I decide to put in the 3-bet here, especially since sort of we're short-handed. He's opening from late position. And from the small blind, I'm probably mostly 3-betting 9s.
I agree.
Yeah. It's kind of interesting. You know, I've been listening to some of the recent, like, Crush Life Poker episodes where, like, Bart talks a lot about, like, you know, doing some flatting from the small blind when there's sort of an early position open. Just because, like, your 3-betting range should be so tight when they open from early position. And I don't hate that idea. Like, if early position opens and it folds all the way to you, and you can just kind of defend because there's only one guy left behind you, but I don't know. I'm not fully comfortable with that.
No, and I think against versus a cutoff open, I mean, I think nines are just...
No, versus, yes. Well, like, I just mean, yes, of course, versus a cutoff open, I'm just 3-betting this all damn day. And we immediately get max punished at the big blind calls.
Naturally. And sorry, what was the sizing you take here with your nines?
Hmm?
What's the sizing you take on your 3-bet?
I go to 80. I just go 4x.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I don't really know my deep stack poker theory. You know, maybe 300 big blinds deep. We're supposed to go smaller out of position.
Probably a bit bigger, honestly. Like, I think you only start to get supposed to be going smaller, like once it's like 500 or something.
Okay,
But
well.
I think you can probably make it like 100 here,
Well,
probably.
I'm happy. I make it 80. And
Yeah.
I just default to the sort of the standard 4X, and we get two callers. So there's now 240 in the pot, and then
So
so.
big blind calls, original razor calls.
Correct. Yep. So there's
I think that
240 in the
does
pot.
limit. Limit how strong original razor can be here, especially if it's like sort of an aggressive player.
Yes, absolutely. I would definitely think he would have somewhat of an active four betting range, especially with the cold color in there. And the flop here is going to roll off. Not my favorite, but not horrible. It's 10 of hearts, 7 of hearts, deuce of clubs. And
Okay,
we're
and you
holding
have.
9 of hearts, 9 of spades. So we do have the 9. We do have 3 to a flush, 3 to a straight. That said, I'm not 100% sure what to do in this situation, but I elect to check, given that I'm out of position to two opponents, and I think this board is probably better for the callers' ranges.
Yeah, it's interesting. What would you do here with Ace 10 suited?
I'd probably bet ace 10.
Okay, which means so you're probably betting most of the overpairs too, right?
I think so.
Okay. In that case, you're gonna need to be betting with a lot. I mean, with a lot of garbage, probably. Like like if you have such a large betting range, you probably need like a lot of garbage to bet. So I would not be inclined to bet this particular holding. I think checking is good because like
It's so middling.
it's like smack in the middle of your range. So
Well, yeah, and I think if we go the other way and we don't bet a hand like ace 10 suited, which is possible, it might be supposed to be a mix. It's certainly possible that we could mix like ace 10, but bet a lot of overpairs. And like check aces sometimes too. Like I do like kind of like that. I like that theoretical balance of like checking aces on some boards where we want to check overpairs just because you don't need protection.
could you ever just like think of this board as a range bet? I mean, it's not a terrible board. Like
It's
it could
not.
be, it's really not, it could be a lot
The
worse.
thing, yes, absolutely. But it's kind of interesting, right? Because we are out of position to both players and multi-way. So it's like our betting frequency does want to go down somewhat.
Yeah, in
It's
general, in
it.
general.
I don't
But
know.
three-bet pots are different.
Yeah.
I mean, if you were to bet your entire range here, like nines probably is one of those hands that still like isn't super pleased because if you can get blown off your equity pretty easily.
But nines is probably a bet call here, don't you think? With our specific like nines with a heart, where you have three to a straight flush.
Okay. Well, in that case, then I mean, I don't know.
If we're playing
If
it
you
as a
just
bet
get
call, I'd probably rather play it as a check call.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I don't hate the idea, I guess, of like because it's a three bet pot, and because you're relatively deep. I mean, you guys have like three pot size bet left, something like that.
No, like 7x pot.
There's
Six to
two.
six x.
There's 240 in the pot, right?
We have
And you.
one point. We were 1.5k effective.
Oh, somehow I missed that. I thought you. Okay, my bad. Yeah. But then yeah, I mean, I think that. Well, that changes the equation then. If you're super duper deep, generally you want to do a lot more checking out of position, so you probably don't want to play this as like a range bet. So yeah, I think fine. Seems fine to
Being
check.
out of position sucks, so I'd always pick up my pairs in the small blind.
So.
I decide to check, and I also think that the button is going to stab a lot when it checks to him, just because he is
Okay.
quite aggressive. And I mean, this board is pretty good for his. I guess it's not great for the callers' ranges, because like they don't have that much value.
Yeah, I mean, he can have all sorts. I mean, he can have like jacks, he can have tens, he can have jack 10, ace 10.
Sevens for sure, 8-9, although we would block that, of course, and 8-9 is not a great hand to call a 3-bet with, but he also might feel priced in once the big blind calls with certain like suited implied odds hands. Anyway, I do decide to check. Big blind checks and the button does fire for 125.
Okay. Yeah, it's such sort of a sucky spot because you have this person behind you. But
Yep.
you probably are like you probably call and then if like big blind raises you just get out of there.
Oh, we definitely fold if big blind raises. And if big blind calls, we're also probably going to fold to any turn aggression. Not because we're worried about the button, but because we're definitely worried about the big blind. I don't remember who the big blind was. I think they were a little more like ABC, typical live player, I want to say.
Could you play this as a check raise to protect your equity?
Maybe. I mean, I could.
It's just interesting. I don't know. I'm just throwing this out there. It might be crazy. It's
It's
just.
I just feel like we probably have a lot, we probably need a lot of check raises if we're check raising nines.
Yeah, for sure.
And
Like,
I don't know that we want, again, I don't know that we want to, I mean, we don't want to play for stacks.
right. And on this board, it's also a very dynamic board. So, no. I mean, I don't think it's a good idea. I just wanted to throw it out there.
It's
But
always good, you know, I remember hearing a good piece of advice that was like, and I don't, it was in some video or another that was like, you know, when you are considering, like, you should always consider calling, like betting or raising as you kind of move through rather than just calling or folding, just to see if there's a sort of a route, a credible route to be taken with aggression.
Yeah, exactly. You should consider the aggressive route, even if you ultimately conclude no, it's good to stop and pause. I mean, I just hate calling here. Like I feel like it's sort of a crappy spot.
Yeah, I mean
But
it
I think
is,
you
but
should
that's what happens
probably.
when you three bet the small blind and you get two callers.
Yeah, exactly. It sucks. So
Especially with like a such a, as you said, such a middle of range hand. So we do just call. I don't think it makes a ton of sense to raise our hand. I think we're gonna be like uncomfortable on so many turns out of position deep. So I do just call and the big blind folds, which is great.
Yeah, that is good. I feel a lot better.
Yeah. So the pot's up to like 500.
So
What
at this
three?
point, by the way, like if you've played this as a check call, so we have to think about like what's your range here. I mean, the problem is like if you're betting like your best 10x and up, you know, your range is not great right now.
Right.
And it's also like you can't even have that many draws. Like you probably play like non-nut hearts this way, maybe some nut hearts. And then you probably don't have any gutters played as a check call, so maybe you yourself have like 8-9 here occasionally. But I think you have narrowed your range a lot taking this line. So I don't know. Part of me is still questioning the like, do we check flop? I don't know.
But
But
maybe like ace, we also have like probably a lot of ace highs. Like some like ace,
with big blind behind.
maybe ace king with a heart
Okay.
might play this way.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Like
I
I
don't
don't
know.
think I can be that worried about big blind because I was a three better and checked, so big blind could have bet himself also.
Sure.
So like there is kind of less of a chance that he's gonna get involved.
That's true. That's true. Yeah, it's tricky. Like I think that's a good point.
We
Part of
might
me
have
is
some
just
ace high floats, especially if we wind up having like the ace of hearts, right? And we have like ace queen with the ace of hearts or ace jack with the ace of hearts that's got a backdoor straight draw and a backdoor flush draw.
Yeah, I think he if you know if he's a any type of if he's a if he's like a thinking player who kind of knows his stuff, I think he could probably put you in a pretty uncomfortable spot on the turn here.
Yeah, like he could definitely be setting up a river jam and just put me in a gross spot. But we are off to a turn which rolls off a total brick. It's the four of diamonds.
Okay.
I think I check here always in this
Yeah, I
spot.
yeah.
And
That's
he
cool.
checks back pretty quickly. So interesting. And I kind of thought like it doesn't. Maybe it felt a lot like maybe Villain has kind of an ace high type hand that he's kind of decided that he wants to go to showdown with. You know, I would think he doesn't have that many air balls because I kind of agree with you that he would probably try and put me in a tough spot if he did have one, if he does have one of those.
Yeah, if he has just like an airball bluff. I mean, yeah, it's pretty interesting. Like, what does he check back the turn with? Like, you would think some amount of showdown value. Like, probably not any really nutted hands.
Right, maybe like a deuce that he's bluffed with. Like ace deuce or something. Like he does have ace deuce, right? Like ace deuce suited could be a hand or like 8-7 or something like that that he just decided. Like 8-7 has a backdoor straight draw. Maybe he's got like 8-7 of clubs. Like just isn't, you know, and then didn't pick up extra equity, so checks back his pair. I don't know. It felt like his he kind of caps his range pretty significantly here. I feel like we're
He
good a
definitely.
lot, honestly. Maybe he's got Jack 10 as sort of value. You know, 10x that we're losing to, but if I don't see why he would check back like Jack's plus.
I agree. I think that no, I think this is good for us. I think we probably have the best hand here a lot.
So the river now comes the eight of diamonds. So the final board is now 10 of hearts, 7 of hearts, deuce of clubs, offsuit 4, offsuit 8. So there are obviously three to a straight. You know, Jack 9 makes a straight, but we have two nines. And I don't know. I decided to take the route of let's try and get to showdown and with plans to call a reasonably sized bet based on this player being fairly aggressive. And so I elected to check. What do you think you'd do in this spot?
I don't know. I agree with your line of thinking at first, but I just want to explore what are some other possibilities here. Like, what is the best hand? What is a hand or the best hand you have here that you would want to bet for value? Is there, what would you bet for value here?
Right. Maybe we play top set this way. Like, maybe we play top set as a check call on the flop. You know, as sort of like a, to kind of balance our range and be trappy. Or maybe ace, but or maybe even aces. Like, I don't know. Maybe we play those hands to kind of in that manner to balance because they need the least protection, and like top set specifically just eats up a lot of the board.
Yeah, although this is, you know, a board where there are a decent amount of draws that you get called by with top set. I mean, I don't like, I guess, doing a whole lot of slow playing as a general rule. Especially, I mean, especially.
Well, then maybe we want to.
You're not going to check raise flop with like aces. You're really just going to play it as just a check call.
I might check raise. I don't really know what I do on the flop. I think it's kind of a funky flop, you know, where it's like I could take I could take multiple avenues. Like I could check raise my overpairs. I could check call some overpairs. I could bet some overpairs.
Yeah, I mean, you have so many like slivers of stuff here, but like, what is like the meat of your range? It's like nines, eights.
Well, maybe we just play our whole range as a check here, or at least this sort of meaty middle part of like, you know, decent ace highs, like ace kings as a check, nines, eights as a check. Like,
I don't know about everything. Almost everything you show up here with has showdown value as played.
Right.
So I wonder if like you have just check calls, check folds, or check raises here. Like, you don't need to necessarily bet anything,
right?
Which is why, like, if you're gonna go this way, I don't really like having like playing your top sets or your aces this way necessarily, but
right.
I do think like if you're gonna have a check calling range on the flop, like just checking again here with most of it, even your especially I guess if you have those tens or something in there or your top set in there and then you can check raise like for value,
right? Because having I think I agree with you that if we take that route we need some check raises. But it is kind of one of these spots where it does kind of feel like we have slivers of a lot of things. Like we might play aces or top set as a bet on the flop or a check raise on the flop or a check call on the flop.
Right. So you have slivers of all this stuff. So I don't know. I would probably just check, pure check here. I think you have the best bluff catcher. Nines without a heart is better. But other than that.
Yeah, we're like at the top of our bluff. We're at the top of the middle of our range.
Yeah, you're pretty close to your best bluff catcher as the run out has come.
So I do check, and he bets 300, okay. Which is about 60% pot.
We just have a fairly straightforward call here.
And yeah, I do stick with the plan and call. And he says something I wasn't expecting to hear, and as I thought about it, I actually asked him about it later because I was so confused. He says jack high.
Jack?
So I just, you know, take the pot in and I don't make him show or anything because he just, like, gives me the head nod, says jack high, I show my hand and win. But then, like, 5 minutes later, I was like, wait a minute. There is no jack high. Like, you know, he made a call. He made a very speculative pre-flop call.
Right.
Because jack seven and up is not jack high.
Right.
So we kind of had a good laugh about that and moved on.
Okay. Well, yeah. I mean, if dude is playing that wide of a range,
I mean, it's just something. I mean, to be fair, like jack six suited, five handed, maybe you open it from the cutoff sometimes. And then, you know, he guess he felt priced in when the big blind called, and he just thought, oh, I got the odds to hit my flush.
Yeah, I mean, if this guy is like barrel is just like blasting with so much random nonsense, then yeah, I actually think that we should play a huge portion of our flop as just a check calls.
And by the way, he totally owned me later when he got aces against my, like, you know, and like got quite a lot back later on. Because, sure. You know, it's great when you were, that's the whole point of being aggressive.
Yeah, absolutely. It is not a winning strategy, generally speaking, to just blast with everything, but people do get, you do get paid when you do it.
So. Yeah, so it was just kind of an interesting hand, and I thought that the reveal was even, like, I was just so, I thought it was pretty funny. And he like, laughed about it. He was like, oh, you don't want to know, you know.
Yeah. I actually think one thing about lags is they, like, loose aggressive players, is they're actually, they're probably not over bluffing on flops and turns. And a general rule, like, you're supposed to be bluffing on those streets a lot. But I think where lags, the reason lag play is such a, like, a money punting machine is because I think they way, way, way over bluff rivers. You aren't supposed to bluff that much on the river.
Right.
And most live players barely bluff at all, of course, so they're under bluffing. But, like, it is very easy to overbluff rivers from a mathematical, theoretical standpoint. And I think right. that, like,
because then you kind of,
you just got to call. When you arrive at the river against a lag, you just got to call.
And I know exactly what you mean, where it's like, you know, and for context, you know, I know Mike's talked about, like, leverage before on this podcast, where it's like, you know, you want to be bluffing a lot on the flop, a little less on the turn, a little less on the river, because you need some portion of give ups to make your range sound. But when you get to the river, you can actually, like, kind of go back to just pot odds and think, you know, when he's betting 300 into 500, you know, that means he's risking, like, 300 to win 800. So he needs to be bluffing, like, you know, less than half the time.
Yeah. Yeah, they, like,
like, he needs to be bluffing 35% of the time, yes. Right? And if he's betting all his jack highs, then he's, given that he checked back turn and thus has a fairly tight and narrow value range, it is likely that he may be bluffing more than that mathematically sound amount.
Yeah, it is kind of, if you aren't arriving to the river with copious amounts of give-ups easily available to you, you aren't bluffing enough on the earlier streets, or you need to give up a lot more than you do.
And it's always so awkward. I mean, this is one reason why, like, this is one reason why poker is a hard game, is because, like, you have to check other streets too. And it's like, sometimes, you know, when he checks back turn, it's like, I get why then when I check river, what I have done is gone check flop, check call flop, check turn, check river. He looks down at his hand and sees jack high and says, I can't win a showdown with jack high. I'm going to bet. But, you know, it's just so weird when you, you know, check back one street and try and tell a story, you know, a consistent story on future streets. So it's very interesting.
Yeah, I think this is a pretty cool hand. I'm still back to flop wondering, like, you know, putting a villain specific tendencies aside, like, is this one of those weird spots where we're, like, supposed to range bet even into multiple people? We're supposed to just bet range, because it's just so awkward to check to check and face a bet in that spot. It's so awkward, and I feel like we're really telegraphing by check calling, like, we're telegraphing such a narrow range, and not maybe this villain isn't savvy enough to pick up on that, but some villains will. So,
right.
Yeah. So anyway, all right.
Well, it's good to think about. And I think it's something we can also kind of use the solver to kind of learn a little bit, just by looking, what would it do heads up with pocket nines on this board, small blind versus cutoff in a 3-bet pot? You know, is it betting range on a board like this in a 3-bet pot? Is it, you know, is it checking with, like, slivers of everything, or with kind of, because that's kind of the solution we came to. It's like, maybe we just take random hands and throw them in there, but that's also very hard to execute, and I'm not sure that I would do it correctly.
Yeah, I would be interested to put it in the solver, but I will guess that it would, in a heads up spot, I think this has to be a range bet, because, like, we have the nut advantage and the range advantage on this board. Like, it's not, like, there's no straight available, and
but I don't think we have the nut advantage. We have fewer sets.
I think we probably have slightly fewer sets, but over pairs are nut-ish. I mean, I guess maybe at this depth they're not, though. So.
Right.
Anyway, yeah, it's interesting.
Well, fun stuff. Let's you know, leave it in the dust.
Let's leave it in the dust. So I have a hand from today I was playing. A nice 2-2 session at the Best Bet Jacksonville. 2-2, $300 cap. It is really lively in there right now. There is a WPT circuit thingy going on over, like, these 2-week block, these, like, next 2 weeks or so. And Brad Owen's coming down to town. It's going to be awesome. But yeah, so there's a bunch of tournaments going on. So the games were good. And I was having fun. And in this particular hand, I am in the cutoff with Queen 10 offsuit, which is a hand that just I will fold a lot in this particular. You'll see what happens here. And I would fold this hand a lot, but I will not always fold it. I will raise it sometimes. And this was one of those times. So we get two limps from under the gun and plus one. And I make it 15.
So UTG and like middle position limp. Mm-hmm. What's our Queen 10? What suits?
Queen of clubs, 10 of hearts.
Yeah, I would probably raise here most of the time. I like Queen 10.
Yeah, I mean, Queen 10 suited obviously is 100%.
Yeah.
I mean, these particular villains were villains I was happy to play some pots with, so I was kind of just looking
to get plus 10 of hearts to 15. Yeah, I do like Queen 10. I mean, you can't really go wrong with Broadway's, like, in position, you know. I mean, you can go wrong, but...
Yeah, you can. You can definitely go wrong.
But I'm probably betting most Broadway... I'm probably raising most Broadway combos in this configuration.
Yeah, I think Queen 10 is probably the worst one of all of the options. I think I would always raise Queen Jack offsuit. I would always raise King 10 offsuit.
What about Jack 10 offsuit?
I would probably raise Jack 10 offsuit more than Queen 10 offsuit. I think it plays a little better.
Yeah, I'm probably raising both most of the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, all right, no free flop, Elise. Let's get in there with the limpers.
Yeah, so I'm happy to raise it up here. And
what's our effective stacks to start?
We are 380 effective with the main villain, who is neither of these players.
You and your multi-way, I need to come play more in Florida.
Yeah, so the button, who is to my immediate left and is the most competent player at the table, not that that's saying a whole lot, but clearly knows some stuff. It's talking the talk. He calls.
Okay.
And the small blind calls and the big blind calls and the under the gun calls, but the plus one folds.
Yeah, you know, he's not getting the odds.
He's not getting the right odds. Yeah.
So we are going 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 ways with a... And then, I mean, this is the nice part about Queen 10 offsuit is that, like, you don't flop that many marginal hands.
Speaking too soon here, Josh. So
yeah. I'm just, you know, getting out ahead of the allegation. So 75-ish in the pot. We've got Queen 10. We're going 5 ways. The flop rolls off.
King of clubs, 10 of clubs, 7 of hearts.
And we flop a middling hand.
So we flop a middling hand.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does it check to us?
It checks to me. What do you think here?
I think we check.
I agree.
We have like nice backdoor equity. We have backdoor straight draw. We once again have 3 to a straight flush.
Yeah, I agreed. I think it is hard to make. I think there are a lot of. It's hard to make a nuttish hand. Like obviously, yeah, I can make a straight flush, but like being realistic, it's hard to make a nuttish hand here. With my specific holding, because like if I get a straight, it'll be a one card straight,
right?
And it'll be a non-nutted straight very likely. And if I get a, if I make a flush, you know, it's the second nut flush, but again, it'll be a one card flush. So I don't know. I think it's a little uncomfortable. I don't love this spot. I do decide to check button bets. And if someone calls, I'm getting out of here, but he bets 45, by the way, which is
pretty hefty for a multi-way.
A meaty bet. And it folds back to me and I don't think I can fold here. So.
Yeah, and I think you probably can call if one other person calls. Like, I don't know. I also think kind of I hear what you're saying that yes, it would be like a one card flush or a one card straight if we make it. But I think that, you know, the equity doesn't necessarily mean like it's not even from an implied odd standpoint, you know, it just like adds equity where it's like, and it also like it kind of aligns with scare cards, I guess is what I'm thinking, where like if a card like the Ace of Clubs rolls off, I feel like the button is going to do a lot of checking back, mm-hmm. which also kind of allows us to realize our equity.
You mean if the Ace of Clubs were to come on the turn? Yeah.
If the Ace of Clubs were to come on the turn, I think we'd get to see the river a lot. And so that kind of like lends itself towards like actually realizing our backdoor draws.
Interesting. That's a really interesting point. I hadn't thought about that. Like, you know, you're saying it's a fairly dynamic board. Basically.
Yeah.
So, and we're not expecting Like, so we should, I guess we should be more allowed, are we more allowed to realize our equity on dynamic boards in general?
I don't know. It probably depends on player type and like what, it probably depends a lot on a lot of things.
Yeah. That's good answer. Yeah. Anyway.
Quite possibly, like, backdoor equity, because, like, if the flush completes, villain, or I guess villain really shouldn't be doing, should, like, be checking back a lot of turns, regardless of whether, like, it introduces a second flush draw or completes the front door flush or whatever the case may be, like, villain should be checking back more. But anyway, we don't have to deal with that, thankfully, right? Because it does just fold to you, but it's just kind of an interesting point.
Yeah, and I also think another thing here, like, given the preflop action, like, villain's range here can't be that... He cannot have anything that strong. Like, the best hand he can have here is, like, pocket sevens, which we have quite a bit of equity against. So, not quite. Maybe that's
dead. Maybe we're going a little too far.
Not drawing dead against pocket sevens.
That's true.
Much more likely villain has something like a king, which we do have a lot of equity against. So.
Yes. Although there are some reverse implied odds if he has, like, king-queen.
Also true.
Like, if we hit a queen, we really don't want to hit a queen in some cases. But Anyway, let's see what actually does happen. So we make the call because it's just us, which of course we do. We should. So there's like, so now we have about 2x pot behind, right? Pot's around 160. We have like 320.
That is, yes, that's right.
And the turn is, and what's the turn?
The turn is the queen of diamonds. So you're making good predictions here.
I did say we can't find ourselves in marginal spots.
Yeah, we did. We can't with this. You did say that. All right, you're making terrible predictions here. So we make two pair. Of course, Broadway comes in. So that's a factor. I don't see villain having like a whole mess of Broadway straights here.
Yeah.
So certainly like, I mean, we can look at like king X hands. A lot of those king X hands do start to be paired up. I mean, there's of course, you know, king nine is a pair and a straight draw. King jack is a pair and a straight draw. But then like king 10 is two pair. King queen is two pair. It probably doesn't have ace king. I don't think this villain would ever have ace king here.
And I guess he could have jack nine. Like, that was double gutted on the flop. Jack nine was double gutted. Straight. So maybe if he flats with Jack Nine suited from the button, then he
probably fine.
Then he might bet it. And similarly, Queen Jack is now paired up.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's definitely interesting. Like, I don't really think this, even though this card gives me two pair, I don't think it is that good of a card for me.
Right. Probably just means we can't fold.
Yeah. Right. So, and that's kind of, so I do, I elect, I certainly am not check. My thought was I didn't want to like check raise here.
Right.
That's kind of what I was thinking. And he goes ahead and bets 125, which is a pretty hefty bet.
Is there any merit to donking?
Why?
I don't know. I mean, I think we do have like a nut advantage.
Because we
flop,
can have,
but I guess we don't call with like any. Well, would we check call with ace jack?
Once it folds back to us. Probably, yeah.
So, I mean, we have ace jack, we have pocket kings, we have pocket queens. You know, maybe, you know, we probably have more king queen if you think villain is fairly competent with three bet some amount of the time with like king queen suited type hands. Mm-hmm. So, given that we, you know, as you kind of said, I agree that, you know, the best hand he can have is pocket sevens. He can certainly have some king ten and some king queen, possibly some ace jack, but I don't even know if villain would be betting ace jack also.
On flop.
Into four players on the flop.
Right, might just take a card.
So I wonder if we are allowed to donk here, but then I don't, if we get raised, we're obviously going to just be like, we're just going to feel awful.
Yeah, although that does make, yeah, I think if we get raised, we do get blown off our equity probably a lot, because it's really hard to call a raise if we donk.
But to be fair, if he's raising, we probably don't have a lot. If and like we probably are drawing quite slim, like four outs at most.
Yes, that's true.
And quite possibly,
like, how many
fewer
draws is he raising with here? That like if he has, yeah, like what draws does he like bet flop with and then like raise us? I guess club,
right,
draw. like ace-x of clubs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
That's kind of a baller. And that's kind of a baller move.
If I mean, if we donk and he raises his ace-x of clubs, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean...
I just want, and it's possible that the answer is no, or like not with this hand. Also, like this might just be a firm check call, because it is kind of like I get it. I know what you're saying. It's not great. Like it's like yes, we have middle two pair, but like you know we have middle two pair.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like maybe we can donk some like ace jack and like higher two pair, and maybe even some sets. If we think that this is going to get... I'm just kind of thinking this card could get checked back quite a bit. I know that didn't happen in this scenario, but, like, if villain has a hand like Queen Jack or, you know, Club Draw, they might kind of be scared a bit by, like, the prevalence of Broadway cards.
Whereas they might...
Call with Queen Jack? Oh, yeah.
Queen Jack, sure. Queen Jack specifically.
Or a Club Draw, most likely. Maybe they'd jam.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know this villain very well. I could just, you know, he was talking strategy at the table, so I could.
Maybe our hand
is saying real poker words, so he's probably watched some videos.
And I don't know, you know, this is just kind of a thinking out loud, but it could be, you know, maybe our hand, and maybe our, even if we do have a leading range, this hand doesn't belong in that.
Yeah. So, like, if we have pocket queens here, like, are we supposed to lead? I guess, like, my worry here. Is I think that this card a lot of times improves villain's hand. Like, if villain has a king x holding, which is the most likely holding on the flop, this probably improves that hand a lot. Like, there's just not a lot of like bad king x, I guess.
Only if it's king queen, though. Because, like, king jack, it doesn't improve king jack.
Yeah, that's true. Here, you're right. So king queen, yeah, it improves that. Yeah, I don't know. Leading is interesting. I could see saying, like, we can allow too much equity to be realized in position here when we have nuttish hands, which we can a decent amount of time. We can have queens, we can have king queen, we can have,
and we want to play for stacks with those hands.
Yeah, absolutely. We can have ace jack ourselves. We can probably have some jack nine suited ourselves. So yeah, I kind of like the idea of leading, actually. Does this hand go in the leading range?
Well, maybe it's a lead fold, whereas like...
Yeah, it's like the bet fold.
Whereas like king, queen, and up is a bet call.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously we can have some bluffs, like we can have some flush draws that we didn't raise with, that we had chose to check call with on the flop. Maybe some like 8-9, although 8-9 is kind of crappy because it's not really an open ender.
Yeah, but it is interesting to think about this, because I know it's something I never think about in game, and maybe this is just a leak for me, but like I never notice the spots where like I'm the pre-flop aggressor, but I played the flop passively, but now a card gave me the nut advantage on the turn. You know, that's like such an unusual sort of spot, but I think it's a good thing to pick up on.
I've been trying to just integrate leading a little bit more in certain spots where like the card, you know, changes something in my favor. Like I did finally implement it where I like the middle card paired on the river.
Your
middle card paired on the river, and I like let out and got, you know, and got some extra value that I think I would have missed otherwise. So always kind of interesting to think about, because I really am like you. I have never really thought about implementing it or had an idea how to implement it, but I've been trying to think about spots where my range wants to do that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I like leading here, but I don't. I check.
Okay. And he bets that. 125, and I assume from what we talked about, we don't necessarily want to play for stacks with this hand, so we just call.
Yeah. So you don't think there's any merit to, like, jamming to get called by flush draws here?
We could jam, but I don't know that it's the best. We could jam.
Because, like, if he has a flush draw, he will call a jam, I think he's
supposed to. I think he has to, yeah.
So... And we can also get called by like, there's like pair plus straight draw type.
King Jack. I don't know if Queen Jack is calling a jam.
It's probably. Well, it might. It probably isn't supposed to, because it can chop a lot if it makes it.
Right. So I don't know. I think there probably is merit to jamming where there's not that much behind. And maybe we just like, maybe we are just supposed to, like, because the SPR is so low.
Yeah, I mean, my thought in game was like, there are a lot of like blank rivers, which is true. Like basically any non. Well, first of all, I don't think he has a lot of clubs. So I was basically just like, I really didn't think he had a club draw here that often, but he has some. And I, but I thought for the, like, so like a club is not a brick. It's not great for me because right. He could have some clubs, but like most cards under a 10 are a brick.
Yeah.
And of course a queen or a 10 gives me a full house. And a king is probably good. Yes. Probably bad for me. Probably bad. For me. King's bad for me. But
yeah, we'd actually lose to Queen Jack also if King came off.
Yeah, yeah. So a king is bad, but
there are a lot of bricks. I agree with you, but I think, I mean, the issue, yes, there are a lot of bricks, but like, you know, we still might miss out on value. Like maybe we are just supposed to go super thin here and just rip it and, you know, get called by enough draws and pair plus draws and stuff like that in this range.
Yeah, here's what I'm learning from all these calls. Like I'm not jamming enough on turns.
And I'm jamming too much in general sometimes.
All right, well, you're spaz. I don't know. I think it's interesting. I think there's merit to jamming. I also think, like, we can value own ourselves definitely sometimes, but...
But the other thing is, if we call, there's going to be, like, 500 in the pot and, like, 200 behind, so we definitely have to call brick rivers, right?
Oh, 100%. My plan was to call brick rivers. That was my thought. I was like, I can call brick rivers. There's a lot of brick rivers.
But like, are we also calling club rivers?
Probably with our, we have a club. I don't know that super matters here, but like.
So we're calling most rivers, except we're probably like a nine or an ace.
We're not going to call a king. What's that?
Yeah, a king, a nine, or an ace.
Yeah. So that was my thought. I was like, I can check call most rivers. That was why I chose to check. But I guess I wasn't thinking in the moment like, well, is he going to just own me by checking back something that I could have got value from?
Right.
But like, I guess given his chunky turn size, you would think he was planning to go for it on most rivers with whatever he kind of had.
Right. So I'm okay with calling and like evaluating river too.
Yeah. I don't know. At the end of the day, I did land on check call with the plans to check call most rivers.
Yeah.
Except the ace of clubs, which is what comes up.
Ugh. Yeah. So there's 415 in the pot, not 515, right?
There is.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, because we put in 250 on the turn.
Plus 160 before. That makes 415, yeah. Not 515. I'm good at math.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, either way, we're going to get like 3-1, a little better than 3-1 on the river. Like,
river is the ace of clubs. Gross.
So here's a question. Is our hand so bad now that we should bluff with it?
I just don't think we have like enough behind. I don't think we could get him to fold a jack or a flush.
Well, he definitely will not fold a flush. But
right, but like then he's checking back.
He doesn't have any flushes, though.
He's just like checking back a lot of other hands. Like I don't think we'll have to face a bet that much.
Well, but can we get him to fold a better hand? Like, I don't think... We can't get him to flush. Can we get him to fold a better two pair or a straight?
I don't think we can get him to fold a straight. I don't think he should fold a straight with this little behind.
Hmm.
That's the issue. It's like, if we were pretty deep, then I'd say sure. Like, yes, it makes sense. Like, we have the nut blocker. We can...
Like,
but
you can't really have a flush here is sort of the thing. Like, because of the ace of clubs came, like, what flush does he have?
I think he can have some, like, suited connectors. 8-7, 9-8, 7-6 of clubs.
Yeah, that's true, but, like, that's it. And he might... I mean, a club draw containing a 7 might not bet the flop all the time.
True, but we know people like to play
pair
and flush draws too aggressively. Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. I know what you're thinking, kind of with having the nut blocker. Like, do we just go for it? I just am worried that we don't have enough behind. Because, like, I remember the last time we talked about this, you know, the kind of hand in question, you know, the shove on the river would have been, like, a big overbet as, like, a put all your hands into tough spots and maybe even get some folds from, like, flushes and sets and stuff like that. And Yeah, yes, villain could fold sets, but as we've said, like, with this board, there is one set he can have.
Yeah,
there aren't that many two pairs, as we've said, like, king, queen, and king, ten, and there's just not many combinations left. So,
I mean, he could have tens if we weren't blocking it so hard also, which is another thing in favor of our hand.
So I think I kind of want to check fold here.
Just, does it ever go, like, check, check, and we win? Does that ever happen?
Or is yeah, just like... I mean, I think so. Maybe opponents got, like, right? Because they can have king 9, king 8, as you said.
Yeah, that's, like, it, I guess.
That's pretty much it. But yeah. It also just sucks. Like, I think we also just have to accept, like, wow, this river card really sucks. We, like, are going to lose this hand now out of position.
Yeah. Yeah, I think from a range perspective, like, we don't really have that many flushes here anyway. So right. it's probably not even that credible.
Because we probably have more nut flushes than anything else, too.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, you're right. So it's I just love, like, we're, you know, blocking tens here and we have the nut blocker, but yeah.
So did you wind up jamming?
No, I've checked.
Okay.
And he snap checks back.
Oh, all right.
And shows king jack of spades, so we lose to the straight.
All right. I knit.
Yeah.
I can't believe he checked back.
I know. I mean...
Do you ask him what the solver would do? I like to needle people when they talk strategy sometimes.
Yeah, I should have asked what the solver would do.
When they like, talk strategy and, like, scare away the fish, sometimes it's fun to just, like, needle them when they just, like, miss, like, the most obvious... Like, I feel like he just has to jam here.
Yeah. I mean, he's just trying to get called by, like, anything that is not a flush, which I have so few of.
Right, but like a crying call with like a slow blade set or something like that.
Yeah, or just, I mean, my hand, like a hand like my, like king queen. Like,
yeah.
Like ace queen or ace king.
Yeah, ace king, you could certainly, I mean, you might have, it's another slivers scenario.
I would probably have, like, if I had like ace king with no, obviously no club. So like, I might have some ace king here.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I don't know, I don't think we'd call ace king no club.
Well, we can't have a club, obviously. But
yeah.
Yeah.
But it's interesting. I do think it's that close. A jack...
I mean...
I do think there are so few flushes out there that you have to play a jack with half pot left behind is, like, the nuts.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's supposed to jam. I just... It's probably, like, I don't have that much here that can call the jam. But, right. What the heck... What do I want to have here other than a flush that I would call with?
Right, like, it's kind of weird. Like, maybe you have to, like, defend with, like, some, you know, hands like king-queen that, like, block jacks. But then, like, queen-ten is one of those. We even have a club, I mean, so maybe like queen-ten is supposed to be, like, a call.
Yeah, like, my hand is, like, well, I block the nut flush and a set of tens, which he... I
shouldn't play and jacks, game. Like, jack-x, like, queen-jack and jack-ten.
Yeah, so, like, maybe my hand is actually supposed to be called on this river.
Yeah, because, like, otherwise, I feel like he can just, like, blast, like, everything.
Yeah, it's a pretty gross spot.
But that's my point, is, like, you can't, you know, sometimes the river rolls off, and you're just like, wow, that is the worst river in the freaking deck. I just can't win now.
Yeah.
And, like, that's okay, you know? That's okay for that to happen.
Of course, yeah. What he told me, which I don't know if I believe him, but he was like, I would have snap folded if you jammed. And I was like, interesting. That's why I was like, interesting.
So, I don't know. I think he's just, like, mad at him. Did you show your hand?
I mean, he tabled his immediately.
Right. That's why I'm wondering.
I would have snap folded if he jammed. That's what, like, it was, like, in one sentence. So, like,
I don't know. I think maybe we're just supposed to, I don't know. I think the crux of the hand is on the turn. Just because of how dynamic the board is either donking or just trying to get it in.
Yeah, I mean, getting it in there is interesting. Like, we started the hand, of course, like almost 200 big blinds effective. So it's like,
you know. Yeah, but it wouldn't have been. It would have been like a half pot jam. So
yeah,
you know, and we do want to get called by hands like king jack, queen jack.
Of course, that's what we're after.
Clubs,
so.
You know. So I don't know.
Yeah, like we're basically only value owning ourselves in that spot versus like king queen, which you shouldn't have that much of, pocket sevens, which you shouldn't have that much of, and like ace jack. But you shouldn't have that much. So, like, I think it's probably fine. And we're also, like, pretty much never drawing dead. So.
Right.
It's a good spot to get it in, I think.
Well, yes, I wouldn't agree with the last reason, because like a lot of the times we're drawing to like 4 outs is pretty much is like pretty close to dead. You know,
Okay.
like we don't have a lot. We don't have a lot of
Yeah,
outs.
10% equity. Well, look, I think there's a big difference between 10% equity and 0% equity.
Yeah,
So,
10%.
yeah, exactly.
Well, I think it's interesting. I
Quite
don't,
slightly
and I do like the
conservative.
way you played the river. I do think we definitely are supposed to check the river, and just like sometimes we beat like some random stuff, and sometimes and we just lose a lot, and like we just really sucks how bad that card is.
Yeah. Well, okay. All right. So I guess, yeah, I didn't want to donk jam there. So, all right. Take
All
us
right,
home,
so
please.
last hand. Thanks for bearing with us as we continue to just, you know, prattle on.
But wait. But Josh, imagine you're a viewer of this video and you've been listening this whole time. And you're like, damn, this is such great content. These guys make me feel so much better about my poker game. I'm not as big a donk as them. What would you do, Josh?
I would like
Okay.
comment and subscribe to the Bankroll Burners channel on wherever you're listening, YouTube or Spotify.
I think that's a great suggestion, so I'm just going to leave that there. All right, go ahead with your
I appreciate the plug. Well, we are back at Encore, Boston Harbor, at the tail end of just a depressing session. We are, as evidenced by us being $500 effective with the main villain. Things are going great, I promise. We just got moved to a new table, so we have very few reads at this point. Our table just broke. But I've seen this villain before. I think he's relatively solid. Plays a lot, definitely a reg, and I think has definitely done some studying. Decent player. This villain is going to open up from UTG plus one to 20. The
Okay.
cutoff calls, and we look down in the small blind at red kings.
Yeah, small blind red kings. All right.
Yeah. And we raise it on up to $100, which is a 5x, so that's 4x plus the cutoff call,
Sure
and
is
only
meaningful.
the original raiser calls.
Nice. Love it. Seems like it's going to be a smooth sailing hand. No difficult decisions ahead.
No, well, how wrong you will be.
Right, so he's
So there's al we're already getting quite shallow. You may notice where we've got 225 in the pot and about four and only about 400 behind at this point. So you know, one of these lovely awkward stack sizes we've talked so much about. And the
Yeah.
flop is going to come out a very dynamic flop that of course starts with an ace in the window, ace of diamonds, queen of hearts, 10 of spades. And I decide to start into this pot of about 225 by betting 50. And I'm not sure what you'd do here, because I
I
don't.
don't like that at all.
Okay.
I don't like that at all.
Okay.
I'll say I because this board, I think that you just have an utterly insane nut advantage on this board. Like you have aces, king jack, ace queen, pocket queens, way more. You have ace 10, probably at least as much as him, if not more. Like I really think that this is a bet huge, which it's a three bet pot, so you don't need to go like crazy huge, but like you bet quite large on this board, or I think you check. And I think pocket kings is a check.
Now, it's interesting you say that because I decided to run this hand through the solver
Oh,
because
okay.
it
Oh
was a
boy.
heads-up hand, and I thought, hey, it's a great opportunity to use this resource. And it says that this hand is a check 100
Really?
from our spot.
So both of us are really dumb.
And I think part of the, well, yes, that should go without saying.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of the, I think it's kind of interesting because it, you know, part of the reason I think is because his range is supposed to be quite condensed because like he raised from early position and then we three bet. Obviously there was a cold color in the middle. I don't really know, you know, obviously we could go in and change the preflop ranges if we wanted, but I just let it kind of roll with its default stuff. But like he can still have like a hand like pocket queens and ace queen like some amount of the time.
Some amount of the time, just
Like,
not as
especially
much as
because my raise is so big and we don't have that much behind, you know, you can probably reasonably expect the cold color to fold a lot of the time because they're just not going to be getting the implied odds with a lot of their, like, cold calling hands.
True.
So it's just interesting that I was surprised to see that it was a check 100 hand, and so we can now safely leave the solver by the wayside and ignore it for the rest of the hand, because we have now deviated to a spot where that doesn't exist.
I'm kind of curious, though, did you happen to run the sim a little further and see if it check raises much?
I didn't get a chance, because, like, you know how our solver works, would have had to, like, redo the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm sure that it does have quite a robust check raising range. Like, I'm sure it wants to raise aces, queens, like, you know, king jack, and then, you know, I'm sure that there are some good, like I was kind of thinking there are plenty of good bluffs here, like queen jack, jack 10, hands like that. They're like low pairs and gutters.
Yeah, yeah. No, I have a question for you, though, about your hand specifically.
Okay.
If you check and he bets, are you ever good?
No, I mean, probably not.
Yeah.
This might be a check fold.
You might have a check raise bluff with your pocket kings.
You think, but I don't know if pocket kings is a good bluff either, because, like, I do think we have a lot of other bluffs. Like, I don't know.
You bluff the nuts and ace king.
Yeah.
Heavily.
But then, like, what is he betting? Like, if he bets and we're not good, then, like, what else is he betting?
He can have ace jack.
Is he betting ace jack?
He's probably supposed to, right?
I don't know. Does he even have ace jack?
Suited, sure.
Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, probably. I mean, but also could be betting ace 10, ace queen.
Right, so I would rather have blockers to, like, queens and tens, don't you think?
Interesting.
And then, like, have a hand like king-queen, queen-jack, jack-10, that has the same gutter, but also, like, blocks some of the... He probably would bet ace-king, but it's kind of interesting that, like...
Well, what are the hands that that he would bet fold here, as kind of a question, is, like, probably ace... Would he bet fold ace-king is a sort of a question.
I doubt
probably
it.
Probably not, right?
I doubt it. You'd have to say no.
Right. I mean, what is he... Like, most... First of all, like, what is he supposed to bet fold? And then, like, what are players actually bet folding is sort of an interesting question.
Right. Because, like, I'm sure he's supposed to have, like, some weird arcane airballs, you know? Like, well, he can have the similar hands that I was saying is my bluffs. Like, a hand like jack-10, he could probably bet as a bluff.
But, like, what is he bet folding for value here?
Right, that's a good question.
That's what I'm trying to figure out. Like, probably ace-jack is supposed to be a bet fold for value.
Yeah.
That's what I would think. Like,
but maybe he's just supposed to check back, like, a lot of his hands, too.
Possibly.
It's weird.
Yeah, I don't know. It's very weird. Like, I'm pretty interested in, like, what the solver would do in this spot, but I actually think... Learning that our hand is a check 100 because...
Not our hand, our range. This board,
our range is a check 100 because villain can have so much strong stuff is interesting.
Because, like, our 3-betting range out of the small blind, I guess, is quite polar. Should be polar, because we're 3-betting from the small blind. And so we just have, like, all of our... Like, we have a lot of middling hands and misses. Like, all our, like, the wheel aces and, like... suited connectors are, like, not super comfortable, whereas his calling range should be pretty tight.
I actually thought small blind was supposed to 3-bet linearly. Am I wrong about that?
I think you're supposed to 3-bet more polar small blind, because you don't want to take, like, middling strength hands and be always out of position in a bloated pot.
You just fold, like...
But, like, I'd rather... Right, yeah, you just fold a lot.
Yeah,
which is right, like, because, like, from the button you want to be linear because you are happy to play big pots in position with all sorts of hands, because it's very easy to realize your equity with a hand like king jack offsuit, you know, where if you flop top pair you can kind of elect to check back some flops, some turns, some rivers, but you can never do that in a small blind.
Interesting. Okay, well, yeah, so if you have, like, a very polar range here, like, you know, checking, you know, I guess it really disguises your hand quite well, I guess. I mean, it also sucks because, like, if you bet here with, like, your ace fives or whatever, you can get blown off your equity so easily.
Right.
If you're not betting those hands, you probably don't want to bet anything, I guess, is the logic. But
that also means that this hand can... it probably just depends on how many bluffs we have, right? Because it means that our specific hand, like, definitely doesn't need to be a check call. Because we have a lot of, like, ace of like weak ace x to check call. And so then it just kind of depends. Do we have better bluffs to check raise, or do we just like fold this?
I think that like you could probably check raise this sometimes as a bluff. I mean, just because you are blocking ace king, which he won't fold. If you like, you are blocking his continues and you are blocking the nuts. I feel like you have a reasonable candidate to check raise bluff. But yeah. I don't know.
I think that's okay. Reasonable. So I bet 50, which is definitely wrong, because I do
definitely
agree
that. Wrong, yes. Super wrong.
I really just want to talk about this flop scenario, because the rest of the, like, I don't think I played this hand particularly well, and also it just kind of wound up being, like, I thought somewhat straightforward decisions from here, but I just think the flop is super interesting, kind of thinking about the composition and learning that, oh, I'm actually supposed to just check here all the time.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I wouldn't have guessed that. I mean, because like so few 3-bet pots are like check 100,
especially ace high,
right?
And that's why I bet 50, because I was like, ace high, bet small, monkey see, monkey do.
Yeah, I think if you have ace king 10 here, I bet it's like bet huge or check.
Yeah, because they villain really shouldn't have aces or kings, but they can have queens
and ace queen, but they shouldn't have that. They should have less ace king,
right?
And they have ace queen. Okay. All right. So, yeah.
Wanted to give you that brainworm. I bet 50. Villain calls.
Okay. Sucks.
Yes.
I mean, that sucks. Like, you're like,
what do you think? Well, this adventure is over. Turn. Seven of hearts, which introduces a backdoor flush draw. We do have the king of hearts. The queen was a heart, for reference, so it's not even like we have the nut blocker. We decide to now check.
Seems smart.
Because I'm like, well, this sucks. Villain bets 50 himself.
Okay.
And maybe this would have been a good time to just rip it in his face as a bluff.
I think so. Yeah. I mean, what are you going to do if not this? Like.
Yeah. Well, I was kind of thinking, wow, I'm getting such good odds. I should just call here. And like, maybe the river goes check, check, and we win sometimes because he took the super small sizing.
I feel like the super small sizing is pretty indicative of like a weak ace.
Right. That's interesting. Like, do you think if we call and it goes check, check on the river, do we ever win?
No. Because I actually think he might even take this sizing with like two pair.
Yeah. Is he fold? So you think we should just jam and like suck it up, like fold out some weak aces and suck it up if we run into two pair?
Yeah.
Okay, I think that's reason. Especially I think that's fair.
He probably like we are super blocking the nuts, and he's never taking the sizing with the nuts. So like he just can't have that strong of a hand here. Like the best hand he can have is ace queen. He certainly doesn't have queens. Like he has ace queen at best, and he probably doesn't even have that.
I guess it's interesting to take this line with a nutted hand from him because the SPR is basically one on the turn. So maybe he just bets super small to keep a lot of my to like try and keep a lot of my hands in, and then jams river or to like induce.
Yeah, that's fair.
Which I don't know if he's doing. I.
Yeah, he's giving him a lot of credit, but yeah, it's possible.
Yeah, so I don't. So I decide to call.
Yeah, I can't imagine that. I just don't know how you win if it goes check-check, which probably means it's going to go check-check and you're going to win. But, like, I'm just saying I don't know how it's possible. So.
Not so fortunate this time. Unfortunately, the river bricks out, we check, and he jams.
Uh-huh.
And we, of course, we, like, you know, can't fold fast enough.
Yeah.
But it's interesting that you say that you think he might, like, that sizing is kind of indicative of a weak ace, because I don't really think that's the case when he jams river.
I agree. I think that's pretty interesting that he jammed river.
So it feels to me as sort of an afterthought. And in game, I was just kind of like, well, I feel like I'm not good here on the turn, but like maybe I'm good sometimes. He's betting so, so small that like we're almost getting direct odds. Like actually, we might have been getting direct odds. When he bet 50 into 325, we need to be good less than 1 in 8 times. And we had 6 outs, possibly.
If you're assuming your kings are...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, that's... I don't know, but maybe we are just... Maybe if that's the case, we should just rip it and take advantage of the weak sizing.
Yeah.
But then it's interesting, because then he jams rivers. So I'm like, now it definitely feels like it's not one pair, or maybe ace-king.
Yeah, I really wonder what he had. That's quite curious that he jammed.
Right. And so that's why now I kind of think that he probably had like King Jack, Ace Queen, Pocket Queens, Pocket Tens or something, and
He
just
was milking
decided to bet
it.
small to keep my range wide and then jam river for a better price. So that I kind of have to call if I have a hand like Ace King.
Interesting. Yeah, that's pretty curious. I would not have expected him to jam. I would expect it to go check, check, and you lose,
Would you
but
get curious enough to call the river?
no. I mean, I don't understand what he could possibly have that we beat.
Right.
Like some weird suited connectory hand that he like,
But, like, I
but
just
like,
played
how
this
did we
hand
get to beat
quite poor.
him?
Like, I don't know. It's a weird post-flop dynamic. Like, but maybe we're just supposed to, like, check jam or check jam flop or check jam turn or something.
I mean, could he have like hearts, missed hearts? Is that's the only thing I can think of. Is like, would he ever just like take that small sizing with like hearts on the turn and then
Yeah, it's, we
jam
have the
the
King of
flop?
Hearts too, which is means like he doesn't have that many heart draws.
But like, why if he was just going to take such a small sizing with hearts, why wouldn't he just check back?
Right. And it's I just don't think he has that many because I don't think he should have that many small suited connectors calling the like big re-raise leaving like a 2x SPR.
Especially because the turn is a seven of hearts, right? So,
Yes. So he'd have
yeah. So
and he's
like,
probably shouldn't have 8-9. So it's pretty much like Jack 10 or 10-9.
yeah, I don't know. That's curious. I'm like,
It
I
is
wouldn't
very
call.
curious, but like obviously I was like I'm not gonna call like.
Yeah. I'd probably fold and like maybe offer him $10 to see his hand.
Yeah, I should have done that.
Yeah, because I'm just like, what the heck? Like not even about like wanting to like exploit him later. Like I just want to know like what anyone would take this line
Right.
with.
It's kind of
Yeah.
weird.
Yeah.
It was definitely curious. But anyway, fun flop scenario. Less fun res less fun hand result. But you know, as we've blathered on for long enough, don't want to keep it going for too long.
Yeah, thank you so much everybody for tuning in. As always, we really appreciate it. These are some fun hands, so let us know in the comments how you would have played them differently. Would you have checked jammed with Queen 10 as a thin value on the river? Would you have checked jammed with Red Kings for thin value on the turn as a bluff or actually earlier in the episode for value? So we have so many check. This is the episode of check jam turn. So let us know how you feel about check jamming the turn. And yeah. Thanks so much.
Thanks, everyone.